Appreciate you giving. We've been out, or I was out Sunday before that on vacation, then we had homecoming last week. So he says our offerings are still up, so we want to make sure that they stay that way. We have some missionaries we support in the class that we've supported for several years, and you guys have met that need. It's not up to me to give thanks for it, but I mean, God's one that gives rewards, but I do appreciate it so much. All right, let's go back to Proverbs. I'm going to repeat a lot of what we covered the last time because I was out myself for a week, and then we had homecoming and missed Sunday school. So we're going to back up and catch ourselves and go on from there again. And it was refreshing to me to look back over it, so I'm sure it will be to you too. All right, let's just start reading in Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. Now, he's telling you in verses 1 through 4, why it's being written. I mean, sometimes, you know, this is simple, and I'm saying simple things, but it tells us right off the bat why this Proverbs is written. And if you look at the things that right off the bat, I mark them in my Bible, number them, really. And the first one's to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give stability to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Losing my voice here. Now, wisdom is personified in this book as a woman. And we've studied in this class a lot the whore, and she's talked about in the other verses on down through in the other chapters. Bear with me just a minute, please. So, the first nine things that we look at here, or ten, is the reason the book is written. And it says the wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. All right? My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, a lot of people like to take this and look at it as just David's advice to Solomon, just advice to a young man. But as we go on up in this chapter, you see the I in here is definitely God speaking to people. And we'll cover that as we get to it. There's two callers here, and we'll see them as we go through. You got the sinner calling, or Satan calling. You got God calling. We struggle with that every day. The temptations, the sinner, the sin calling and God calling. And who will we respond to? Now look here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now here's that first calling. He said, when sinners call, don't answer the phone. Simple. If they say come, you see they're saying come. Now he's going to go on. I want you to watch how these first two chapters, they start out, and it emphasizes the word strongly. Then it emphasizes later on in the next three or four chapters, people who are against the word and contrary to the word. And they're calling and they're responding to them. And when you're looking at wisdom, wisdom is clarified as a woman. And through chapters 4 through on there, you're looking at 4, 5, and 6, you look a lot at this whore, this woman in the streets and her calling. But she represents the woman of Matthew 13 as well as that prostitute. But that woman in Matthew 13 that blended in a little leaven, and she's leavened the whole lump. Now, I'll try to move on and make this make more sense here. They say, come with us. Let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have our purses. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone. Now you see this? This is just not the robber who sticks the gun out in the street. Okay? It's telling you, so is everyone that is greedy of gain. All right? Which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. Now, here it's going to name five places. This is what I want you to watch. Here's the second calling. This is wisdom calling. Wisdom calleth, and where does she call from? Five places. And if you remember in Jesus' teaching where the highways and the hedges, he said there's a wedding, you go compel them to come in. And where did they go first? And he said, go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. But look where wisdom calls. Then we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians and look at wisdom. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. You remember in Hebrews, he was crucified without. That's outside the city. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the main intersections. Wisdom crieth in all these places, in the main intersection, in the openings of the gates where the wise people are. Wisdom calls and cries out in these places. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn. Now I want you to watch this verse. Turning comes before conversion. And conversion comes before the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes before understanding of God's word. And that's a key in this verse right here. It said what? Verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. All right, he's saying, turn, and I'll do this. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit into you. Repentance comes before conversion. And conversion becomes before the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit becomes before understanding of God's word. See, we have a lot of people even who are proclaiming God's word and don't know God. Now, I don't say that, you know, picking names or downing people. I'm just saying that's what it, repentance. He said turn, and that's a simple definition. If you ever want a definition of repentance, people will say repentance means this, repentance means that. Repentance is simply turning. A man can only simply say, I'm wrong. I need Christ. I'm coming to him. Don't make it complicated. Don't make salvation complicated. Don't make repentance complicated. But it's going to be there. A man can't have his cake and eat it too. Okay? Watch this. Turn you at my reproof. See, if we went over in 1 Timothy, he'd tell us what the Word of God's given for. For correction, for doctrine, for correction, and for instruction. For doctrine and reproof. For doctrine, what is right. For reproof, what's not right. For instruction, how to get right. Or instructions, how to stay right. And that's the hope. The Scripture does these things. That's what we get from the Scriptures. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit into you, and I will make known my words unto you. That's the order of salvation. Repentance comes before conversion. Conversion comes before receiving the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the interpreter of the book it wrote. Now, because I have called, because I have called and you refused. Wisdom's cried out from all these places. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians. And I want you, we're going to get the definition of wisdom and what it is. You know, I used to look at, how can I say this? Wisdom, a lot of times we look at one of the definitions and that becomes our definition. Or we look at one of the roots and that becomes our definition. But I want us to look at 1 Corinthians. I used to think wisdom is just good common sense, discretion, making right judgments and decisions. But where does it come from? What is wisdom? Where does it come from? Now remember our study in Acts. In Acts 17, where Paul goes to Athens. I have to bring this up every time I go into 1 Corinthians in the first two or three chapters. Paul's up in Athens, and all these intelligent people, democracy, the first voting of people was there. All this, but it wasn't no church. Paul didn't found a church there. Didn't start a church there. But if you look at chapter 18, I think it is in Acts, the first chapter, first part of the chapter says, and he went to Corinth. See, he left there and went to Corinth, and they received his word. And he says unto them, you see your calling, brethren. Not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty, not many presidents, not many congressmen, not many athletes, not many disputers, lawyers. It's just simple fact. Not many of those because of the foolishness of this world. Now watch 1 Corinthians here. And in 1 Corinthians 1:19, we'll look at that first. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now look at verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And now look at 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. All right? Now he's saying this right after he left Athens. Greece, right in the people who look for wisdom, seekers of wisdom, philosophers. But he's saying, you see your calling, brethren. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Now look at verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. That's a good verse there with it. Now, I want you to compare 1:17. Look at 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. It's not the wisdom of men that does it. It's the power of the gospel. Not the wisdom of men. Now, compare 2:4. Look at 2:4. Chapter 2 and verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. See, there is man's wisdom. A man thinks he has wisdom because he knows all the facts. Knowing all the facts is not wisdom. Being a scientist is not wisdom. Being smart is not wisdom. Now, you say, Joe, how are you getting all this? He says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now look at verse 30 of chapter 1. And verse 29, he says that no flesh should glory in his presence. But look at verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. You see that? Well, you see who wisdom is and what wisdom is? Now, who's crying over there in Proverbs chapter 1? Who's crying out? God cries out. He said, "Who God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." That's what Christ is to us. The Holy Spirit is the power of God and the wisdom of God, Paul said. You can take a man with a third grade education and he receives the Lord, gets born again, and has a lot of wisdom. I took instruction from my dad had a third grade education, but it was a wise man. A lot of wisdom. Someone else might look at him and say, man, that's an ignorant, unlearned man. But wisdom is not judged in man's knowledge barrel. Wisdom is to know God, to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and to have the Holy Spirit in your life and taking the Word of God. Now, we're going to look at some things here. He says you can have these things. James says you can have them if you ask for them. If you ask wisdom, God will give it to you. You can be a saved man and not desire the things of God and the knowledge of God and the discretion of God by being comfortable where you're at. Now, let me get a good bearing here, the good place to start. Let's just read on. In verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hands and no man regarded. Now, we listed the things up here in the reason the book was written. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom, to know instructions. Now, he tells you these things and tells you what these things are. And then in chapter 2, he tells you what you're to do to look for them. How you get them. Look in chapter 2. And I'll hold my finger on verse 25 where we're at in 1. My son, in chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. All right, this is God speaking to you and I. This wisdom, look at verse 24 where I have my finger in chapter 1. Because I have called and you refused. In Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah cries out the words of God, said, come. He's crying in the marketplace. Come, buy all of this precious stuff, he said, without gold and without silver. Yo, come and buy. What are you buying it with? Conversion, repentance, turning. He said, come and buy all this without silver. He said, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh. Who will laugh? Wisdom? Yes. But wisdom, we just went over in Corinthians and seen who wisdom and what wisdom is. Now we're looking how you get it. You get it by repentance in chapter 23. You get it by turning from your wickedness to God and recognizing Him and giving Him the glory. He's going to tell us that here in a minute. All right? I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The knowledge of God, see, is what a man, a sinner hates. The sinner's calling and wisdom is calling. God is calling. We look around us today and you see how the tables have turned in 100, you study history, just in my, I'm just 66 years old, but look how things have turned. Good, what was good is evil. The man who will live for God nowadays and make a stand for God, he's the one that's wrong. He's the one that needs to get with the program according to the world. But let's see how you get these things. He doesn't tell us all these things. He cries out. But look here what he says in chapter 2, in verse 1. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. You know how powerful the words are. John 6, Jesus spoke, and he said they were going away from him. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And they said, how can this man give us flesh to eat and blood to drink? And he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He didn't say they're spiritual and they're living. He said they're spirit and they're life. Those words are. And now here it says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Wisdom's something you listen to. It's not something that you possess, and it's not knowing all the facts. It's the commandments. It's obeying. So that they incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. James said if we'd ask for it, he'd give it to us. But you see, as I said last week, the desire, our desire, and I'm talking about me. I'm not pointing fingers. If I did, there'd be one pointing up and four or three at me and one at you. I'm not pointing fingers. But if we desired the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God as much as we desired the financial stability of this world, you stand around us, and I'm including myself, the first things we're going to talk about is the economy. The stability of our 401k, the stability of this. What about God? What about wisdom? What about understanding? Job, remember we went through Job? Job gave us the points of judgment. And he said, if I had made gold my confidence, or find gold my confidence, or made gold my hope. He said, if I made gold my hope, or find gold my confidence. But his hope was not in gold, and not in fine gold, not in the best of treasures. And God is saying here, if we would seek after him like he had treasure. If we know, now, honest, I'll just say, if I know then that little 3 acres of land I owned somewhere was hid, a treasure chest. I'd dig that thing up. I'd go buy me the best metal detector I could find. Wouldn't you? But God said if we'd take that metal detector of the Holy Spirit, when you run that Holy Spirit over this book, he's going to hit you with something. But you see, folks, my desire a lot of times is not what it ought to be. And yours, is, I'd say, is the same. We don't possess this with the power that we could have it because it's not our choice. It's not what we're choosing. We choose this world and we choose the things of this world and they are our concerns. But watch what he said. If thou criest after it, when you sit down to read the book, do you read it just to get caught up on your study? Do you read it just, I've sat down and read the book, but I used to read it like that, just to read it, just to get 3 chapters in today, so I read it in a year. Got over that. I want to study this book by subject. Run it. Search after it. Dig it. He said, if you cry after it. I've heard a lot of people crying over 2008. And I was one of them. It lost over half of your 401k. Huh? But he says here, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Incline your ear to it. I'm getting hard of hearing. And when somebody talks, I want to do this. Huh? You want to incline your ear to it. If we incline our ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Did you ever read something in the Bible and God just speaking to you and say, God, help me to understand that. Give me understanding of what I've just read. You know, we looked at a while ago why this book is written. And equity is one of them words. Balance, what's equal? What balances and what don't balance? A workman, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. What's equal and what's not equal? What's under the law and what's not? Rightly dividing the book. And he says, so that we incline our ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If we'd get down and pray to God for wisdom and for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure. Then there's a word there that starts the next one. Then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Paul said what in several of his books, the same things in different ways. I bow my knees to the Father that he would give to you what? Knowledge and understanding of God's word. Paul prayed that same prayer for people, that they would get these things. God's saying he'll give it to you, but you're going to search for it as hid treasure. When in Kings, when he asked, when Solomon asked for wisdom, he asked for it. God said, what do you want? I'll give it to you. And he wanted wisdom that he might discern and judge God's people. And God was pleased with it, and he gave him wisdom. And with wisdom comes all these other things. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. We have a lot of people who don't want to talk to a Jehovah's Witness because they don't really know what to say. When he comes at them or she comes at them with some of this off-the-wall stuff. So they run from the opportunity. I don't want to argue with them. But most of the time, they're going to lead the conversation. You just let them go ahead with it. They're going to lead it. And like I was telling you a few weeks ago, the ones that I talked to the last time, out of the blue, the man says, well, there's no such thing as the deity, Trinity in the Bible. I said, what? He said, show me. And I opened his book and I said, you don't even have the Word of God. I said, let me go get mine. And I come back and I said, I beg your pardon. I'm going to show you deity. When we went to Romans chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2, we went to Galatians, we went to Hebrews. And I showed them the Godhead. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I said, what is the Godhead? I said, you know, because you'll speak of the three, but you won't put them together. I said, that's the Godhead. And in Romans chapter 1, it mentions the Godhead again. God, see, our desire has to be to know this book. I love sports. And last night, for a little while, I tried to review my lesson and watch Texas A&M. It don't work. God kind of shuts the light off. And I had to cut the blue off and get back to looking at the Word. You see what I'm saying? What do we desire? What do we desire? He said Solomon asked for wisdom and he got it. But what did he get along with it? All the other stuff he didn't ask for. God said, I'm going to give you those things. Because with wisdom and discretion and good judgment and good knowledge, good decisions are made. And when good decisions are made, you stay out of trouble. Right? You stay out of debt. there's a lot of things that comes with this. If let me read this and get it my mouth out of it and get the scripture back in it. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. David said, it's too high for me. My little brain ain't going to contain God's knowledge, but we're going to get some of it. That's what this book said. We'll get his word. Now watch this. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Who gives wisdom? God. Not Catawba College, not North Carolina State, not the University of North Carolina. God giveth wisdom. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're truth. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. We got to seek this way. We got to seek this path. Then, again, we see that word then. Then will we understand. Okay, let's go back and we find out. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Then look at this. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. We're on a course in America today because of this. We're not seeking these things. We're not seeking the good path. We're not crying after wisdom and knowledge. If we had someone in America who wanted to judge God's people with wisdom and equity, balance, we don't have that. Said, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, you see where wisdom's at? If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See where wisdom's at? Wisdom is in the heart of a man. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. For he has made unto us wisdom, right? Christ has made unto us that. You know, we're a peculiar people. We have satellite. You know, when I get lost and plug that woman in, it talks all the time, says, recalculating, recalculating. But you see, as a Christian, We have that. We can call on God. And if we're calling on him out of a sincere heart, he'll direct our paths. The Bible says that. We're not on our own. He'll direct our paths. Then sometimes we'll be on a path and say, how did I get here? Then we'll see God do something. And he put us on that path. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Now there's more to this, folks, than just saying to deliver you from the sinner. We're getting into here talking about tribulation. And the Antichrist. And Israel. And you go on with it. We'll cover this more later and we'll see it better. Deliver thee from the evil man and from the man that speaketh froward things. Not forward, froward things. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. They're twisted in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. This mystery of iniquity, this whore, this woman in Revelation chapter 17, when John looked and saw her, and seen what she was, he marveled. He was so amazed. Well, people say, well, that's Rome. Well, Rome had John in prison. Why would he have looked out across the and seen that vision and been amazed at that? He's seen heads roll. He's seen crosses along the side of the road. What he marveled at was that system. That world system, that religious system, that woman, that whore. Okay? And he's going to start talking about her here. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth forsaketh the God of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go down unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. He goes on in chapter 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It's all about the Word of God. Wisdom, the Holy Spirit, is the power of God. The Word is the power of God. The Holy Spirit in Acts 17 is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. And Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God made manifest to us. And he said, I've cried. In chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, he's talking about crying out. He said, if I'd seek her, he said, I've called and you refuse not. He said, but if you would seek her like we would seek fine treasure, he said, then you'll receive it. So that's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? We have not because we ask not. When we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our own lust. Christ is made unto us wisdom. I would encourage you to read John 14, 15, and 16, and to see that. To see clearly what the Holy Spirit is and what Christ said to do. He said, I'll send you another, right? When I get another one, it's just like the other one. Another, the Holy Spirit, equal to God. He said, I'll send you another comforter. And when he was come, he will reprove the world of sin. He'll guide in truth. You see where wisdom comes? We have the Holy Spirit. And if we'd seek the Holy Spirit's instruction the same way we seek silver and gold and precious things, I believe God would give it to us. Don't you? Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God, thank you for this word that you've put before us, God. It's precious, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.